Well, good morning. It's so great to be with you. It really is. And I don't know about you, but I find it annoying, unintelligent, somewhat crass and opportunistic when people use their sermon to advertise their ministry. However, I'm just sensing you want to hear a bit more about the Evangelical Alliance. So if it's all right, we'll do a few minutes on that first. So the Evangelical Alliance was started 180 years ago next year with two aims that remain our two aims today. One, we want to unite the church throughout the United Kingdom in reaching the lost. And two, we want to give a confident, effective, and united voice into the corridors of power. But let's deal with that E word, shall we? Evangelical. That word is not redundant, but it does need redeeming. Here in the UK, it means four things. One, we believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. Stop changing scripture to baptize culture and start changing culture with the truth on the pages of the word of God. Secondly, we believe the death and resurrection of Jesus, single most important thing in human history. Thirdly, we believe in the need for conversion. You don't come to faith by osmosis. You get on your knees and you meet your Savior. And fourthly, we believe in being active in the world, making the world more like the kingdom. That's why evangelicals historically were involved in the abolition of the slave trade, the foundation of the NHS, the provision of education first, or in recent years have come up with and delivered Christians Against Poverty, food banks, street pastors. And I think there's one other element to being an evangelical. I think it's an acceptance no one part of the church will change the nation on its own. I love your church, and I love the Nazarene church, but you won't change Perth on your own, let alone Scotland on your own. We've got to work across streams with others. You know, within our membership, there's over 80 network streams or denominations represented. That makes my traveling around fun. You never really know what church you're at. I tell you what tells you where you are. It's not the name of the church. It's not even the stream of the church. It's the first worship song. The first worship song reveals whether I need to keep my hands in my pockets or can I be my normal Subutio goalkeeper that day. You realize during the first worship song how much you're supposed to wind your character in or release yourself fully. My wife will often say, what time are you home? And I can sometimes say 2:42 p.m. because in 140 years, the church I'm going to has never gone over an hour. Other days I say, hopefully today. You know, I'm translated at least once every 4 to 6 weeks. Recently, for the first time, into Punjabi. I preached at a church in Wolverhampton. I was the only white person in the room. There's over 300 Asian folks who've all come to faith from other faiths. It was amazing. God is moving. The evangelical church is amazing. It's vibrant. It's diverse. And we want to move forward together. And we at the Evangelical Alliance are so excited about what God's doing. And I'll share some of this in my sermon, what God's doing in the gospel area, but also in the advocacy area, in the speaking with a united voice. Our access to the corridors of power is better right now than it's been in living memory. We're living in a time where we're able to speak up and out on some really hard stuff, like assisted dying, like issues to do with who can get married or who can't get married, like issues about the fact that the exclusivity of Jesus Christ is not hateful to preach. It's the most loving thing you could ever preach. We're also able to speak on some really wonderful things, how the church is providing so much common good to the culture, how we're transforming stuff, how we are good news people in a bad news world. And here's the thing, friends, I say to every evangelical Christian, by the way, thank you to this church for your membership, but I say to every evangelical Christian, go deep in your postcode, love your place. We won't get in your way locally, but be connected to the national story. In our culture, we need to be heard and we need to be seen. And you know, for years, the 3,000 church members was the access to the corridors of power. But in recent years, it's changed. We live in a much more individualized culture, don't we? So the individual membership has increasingly become the access to the corridors of power. And we're a membership org made of 3,000 churches, 500 organizations, and 28,000 individual members. But we're trying to grow that individual membership. 3 years ago, it was 18,000. And we're aiming to get it to 50,000 individual members for two reasons. Reason one, that's a similar membership to many political parties. We're not a political party, but it gives an idea of scale. 50,000 individual members, a new Scottish First Minister or a new Prime Minister down in London, they ring us, not the other way around. Second reason, though, at the moment, when we go to Holyrood, Stormont, the Senate, or Westminster, we legitimately can say we represent well over 500,000 people. But 50,000 individuals and 3,000 churches, we can say we represent in the millions. Because particularly in politics, they understand membership. For every person signed up, there's 30 or 40 people with you that haven't signed up. So we're delighted in the last 3 years to have gone from 18,000 to 28,000, but we want to go to 50,000. Why? Because in our culture, so often the loudest boos come from the cheapest seats. We don't want to get rightsy, but we want to be clear. There's loads of us here. We're good news people, and we want to speak hope into the culture, speak truth to power, and unite around the gospel so as Jesus prayed, the world might be drawn to himself. And here's the great news. It used to cost a cup of coffee a month to be a member of the EA. It no longer does because coffee's gone up. It costs £3 a month to be a member of the EA as an individual or a couple. So if you're married, you know, don't even check with your spouse. Sign up as a couple, it counts as two. No, do check. But do sign up. But here's the thing, it's not about money, it's all about voice. We won't put the price up. And you say, well, if it's not about money, why does it cost anything? I'll tell you why. If it was free, it's as useful as a Facebook group when we go into the corridors of power. We've never been asked how much people pay, just how many subscribing members do you have? So if you're a good news person, if you're an evangelical Christian, you want your voice to be heard in the national whilst you go for it in the local, would you do me a favor and just sign up before you go home today? And by the way, thank you to everyone who's already a member here. This is Fred Drummond's church. I've also been before, so loads of you are already members of EA. Please stick with us. But if you sign up this morning, I'm going to give you a present. Why? I like you. Why else? Let me be honest, friends. I'm giving the next decade of my life to trying to unite evangelicals around the gospel and speak up on the hard issues. I'm a Marmite figure. I get a lot of stick for that. Some of it at the time hurts. With hindsight, it's quite funny. Like this screenshot I've got from Twitter. At Gav Calvi, you are the scum of the earth and are going to burn in hell. Hashtag love wins. In this box is a few things, because we're going to keep being brave and kind, but a few things I'll give you. I'd love to give you this. My latest book I've written with Phil Knox, How Can We Be Good News People in a Bad News World? I'd love to give you a couple of EA resources. I'd love to give you this. If this doesn't make you sign up, I don't know what else to offer you. It's an EA keyring, bear with me. This bit on the top's got our logo on. It's a fake detachable quid. In our increasingly cashless society, when you need a supermarket trolley, you'll be so grateful you joined. When you need a locker at the gym, happy days. All I ask is each time you use it, would you genuinely pray the three things I pray each time I use mine? I pray that the church be united in this nation. I pray that the voice of the church be heard effectively in the corridors of power. And I pray that together we've made Jesus known. You know, every week, two or three people send me a photo on social media of them using their trolley coin. I want loads more photos, because I want loads of us loving our place, but also praying that the church would be united, that the voice would be heard, and we'd make Jesus known together. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, I pray you'd forgive me for overselling in your house, but you know how pure the motive is. And Lord, we do pray, here in Perth and beyond in Scotland and beyond in the UK, would your church be united? Would we be one so that people would be drawn to yourself? Would the voice of your church be heard effectively, Lord, from parent governor meetings through to Downing Street and Holyrood and everything in between? And Lord, together would we make you known? And as we turn to your word now, would you speak to us? Would you minister to us? And would we hear your voice this morning? Amen. If you've got a Bible, would you turn it on? Or open it up. We're going to Psalm 16. If it's any help, it's page 468 in my Bible. I'm going to just read Psalm 16. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods, or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my cup and my portion. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Friends, I want to suggest we're living in the moment we've prayed for. We have prayed and prayed and prayed that there would be an openness in the United Kingdom to the gospel. And we are living in the moment where that openness has begun. Winter is no longer here for the church. Spring is here. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. We're not in summer, but spring is here. This year has been just about the most glorious year of the 25 I've been in ministry, but it's also been the worst. It's almost been like we've seen things we never thought we'd see, and yet it's been so contested. You'll even notice this in the wider culture. There was a week back in June where I saw more people meet Jesus than any other week this year, and that was the same week where in the Westminster Parliament they voted through on assisted dying and decriminalisation of abortion up to full term. Those two things happening in the same week as I'm seeing more people come to Jesus than ever before. We're living in a contested time, and yet we're living in a glorious time. And we mustn't be like Jonah in Jonah 1 when he's asleep, when the sailors basically are trying to wake him up. How can we be saved? Let's be awake to the fact that people around us are asking questions. So when you get invited to speak at a church in Scotland and it's St. Andrew's Day and it's the first Sunday of Advent but it's not quite December, what do you preach on? You preach on this psalm. And I'll tell you why. Because this psalm shows us what the Lord gives us as we seek to continue in the heritage of Andrew and invite people as Fred encouraged us, but as we also look forward to this season of Advent. You see, this is basically a psalm riddled with hope. Verse 1, God will preserve the psalmist. Verse 2, God is his goodness. Verses 5 and 6, God is his inheritance. Verse 8, God is always before him. Verse 9, God is the God of hope. Verse 10, God is not the God of death, but verse 11, he's the God of life. Because Jesus took refuge in the Father, verse 1, for the sake of saving a holy people, verse 3. The Father sees his innocence, verse 4, raises him from the dead, verse 10, and takes him to heaven to live with him forevermore, verse 11. This psalm, for me, shows me the three things we need in this season of openness, the three things we need to know of the Lord as we seek to share him. And the first is this, verse 1, the Lord gives us refuge. Psalm 16 makes it profoundly clear the greatest benefit for those who trust in the Lord is that very relationship of trust. Sometimes we can treat the Lord like a vending machine. If you just give me this, I'll be okay. But actually, he's given us enough because he's given us this relationship in the first place. You know, he is precisely this relationship of trust that transforms everything. Verse 2, apart from you, I have no good thing. You know, I remember going to Ethiopia, and it was at a time of real famine, and it was devastating. People were dead all over the place. It was a real scene of real devastation, didn't know what to think, where to turn, where was hope. I went around one corner and there was this older gentleman, he was bouncing along the road, and I went up to him and said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to church. I said, why are you going to church? He says, I love Jesus. Do you know Jesus? I'm like, yeah, I know Jesus a bit. Yeah, that's cool. I said, why are you going to church? He said, well, I've lost everything, but this is an opportunity for those of us who have Jesus to show those who don't have Jesus what it means to have lost so much, but really not have lost the main thing because you still have Jesus. Friends, when you know God as refuge, it must change how we view our circumstances. In the last year, from the highest of highs, you know, we had a great day in August when my daughter got far better A-level results than her effort deserved. That was a great day. To the lowest of lows in the last 12 months when my wife, Anne, and I stood by the grave of our friend who at 42 died, leaving a 9 and 7-year-old behind. From the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, when you know the Lord as refuge, you can keep going. When we make God our absolute master, we experience the security of dwelling in him. God is David's refuge everywhere, regardless of place. Wherever you find yourself at this time tomorrow, the Lord is your refuge. He's with you. He's for you. And therefore, we can dream bigger dreams about what's possible. You know, I think this is how Esther manages to see the king. You know, when Esther goes to see the king, she risks the most radical of haircuts just for showing up. Just for turning up, she could have her head chopped off. But she turns up. And you know what? I think she turns up because she knows God as refuge. Therefore, she can take on the king. In my job, I get to go to quite a lot of the places you see on the telly. You know, particularly places like House of Parliament, House of Commons, or I was in Downing Street the other week. People always want to know what Downing Street looks like. If you've seen Love Actually, you already know what Downing Street looks like. Whoever did the research for that film got the sets on point. But anyway, the first time you go to any of these places, it's like the ultimate school trip. But the second, third, fourth, fifth time you go, it's your job. And here's the thing, friends, let me be honest. You're going in as an ambassador for Jesus. So you're going to say stuff that's often not well received. And you're going to say stuff that might be an irritant. But also, you're sitting opposite some of the most powerful people in the UK. And here's the thing. Often, I'm in danger of overestimating their power and underestimating who's with me. So if you ever see me in outside Holyrood, or you see me in Westminster or somewhere, and I'm singing. I've developed a new spiritual discipline, which has helped me realize that God's my refuge. Before I go into any room with someone who in human terms I feel slightly intimidated by or might be more powerful and all those things, I sing this old tune to myself. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will look strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I think too often we overestimate that which is in front of us, and we overestimate the Jesus who's with us. And we need to turn our eyes upon Jesus. And then all of a sudden, we realize it's about him as refuge making anything possible. And the things in front of us that felt so daunting don't suddenly feel so daunting because they feel strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The Lord gives us refuge. But then secondly, the Lord gives us confidence. This is verses 2-7. The Lord gives us confidence. A dad goes to the supermarket with his newborn baby. The newborn baby is screaming its head off. Two things happen. If you've never had children, you think, can't they shut that kid up? If you've got children, you think, thank you, Jesus, it's not my go today. And the dad's there and he's going around and he's filling up his trolley and the baby's screaming. The dad can be heard saying, don't worry, George, we're nearly done. Don't worry, George, we'll be home before you know it. Don't worry, George, just calm down. Dad keeps going around the shop, baby's screaming, dad's putting stuff in the trolley. Don't worry, George, we're nearly done. George, we'll be home before you know it. George, it's okay, just calm down. Eventually, the dad gets into the queue to pay, his trolley's overflowing, baby's screaming. Dad's still saying, George, it's okay, just relax. George, just chill. George, we'll be home soon. A woman comes up to the dad and says, I've been so encouraged seeing how you've shared with baby George around the shop. Dad looks confused, so she tries again. Just seeing how you've talked to baby George, what a blessing that's been to me. He says, no. You've got everything wrong. He's not George. I'm George. Some of us need to have a pep talk with ourselves to keep going. Some of us need to have a word with ourselves to keep moving. We find in verse 2 the psalmist's declaration to the Lord. In verse 3, his delight in the Lord's people. And in verse 4, his dedication to the Lord's service. You know, I did 14 years working for Youth for Christ before I worked at the Evangelical Alliance. And when you work with young people, you realize that what the Bible looks like is as important as what it says. So you start asking yourself, what does it look like in these circumstances? For example, the feeding of the 5,000. Don't you love that story? We know that it's barley loaves and fish, so fish and poor bread. But we also know that packed lunch that Jesus feeds the field with, we know it was terrible before it got into Jesus' hands. You'll say, how do I know that? I'll tell you how I know that. I worked with young people for 14 years. The young lad who gives that lunch to Jesus was really hungry. Everyone was really hungry. We know that about the story. Young lads eat anything, don't they? A young lad has looked at that lunch and thought, I don't fancy this. You can give it to Jesus. That's how bad it was. And Jesus multiplies it and feeds the field. That's how it looked. In this passage, David is a fugitive. And his experience as a fugitive means he's lost all his safety and security. That's a big deal, isn't it? Yet in his loss, he's able to declare in verse 5, the Lord himself is his portion. In verse 6, this is a fact in which he can delight. And in verse 7, this is a God to whose obedience he will all the more gladly dedicate himself. You know what, friends? If he can do that as a fugitive, we can do that in our circumstances, can't we? Place our confidence in the God who gives refuge, but also delivers. You see, we have something to share with confidence. Have you heard of a guy called Smith Wigglesworth? You know, crazy guy that used to pray and punch people in the stomach when they had a stomachache, you know? Amazing man of God, fails every safeguarding protocol known to mankind. But they said of Wigglesworth that people were convicted or even healed simply as he walked into the room. That's the presence of God on a person. That same power is available to us. I've got a friend in Telford who runs a church of a few hundred and it's doing really well and everything's going great. And about a year ago, he was broken and convicted about the fact they weren't doing enough to serve the poor. So they started a grocery with the Message Trust. The Message Trust based out of Manchester, amazing work. They started a grocery with them. And in the last 12 months, 98 people have given their lives to Jesus through that grocery. They've now got a very different church, but it's an amazing one. You see, when we're confident and we step out with the Lord can do incredible things. We must not lose our confidence in the Lord, and we must not lose our confidence in the gospel. You know, when Paul writes to Rome in Romans 1, Rome was the ultimate in imperial power and pride. It was the ultimate that humans could have made. People went on a pseudo-religious pilgrimage to stare at Rome because of how amazing it was. In contrast, Paul was a funny-looking little fella with a bald patch, bad eyesight, a crooked nose, a monobrow, bandy legs, and no great rhetorical gifts. And Paul writes to the most powerful city in the world, I'm bound, I'm eager, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And in his day, he might look crazy, but 2,000 years on, the Colosseum is ruined. Jesus alive. Friends, we have got to have a confidence in the eternal things. And we mustn't lose our confidence in the gospel. You know, I went to preach recently at another Evangelical Alliance church that meets in New Cross, Southeast London. They meet at Goldsmiths University Student Union. That will mean nothing to most of you, but I went to school in New Cross in Southeast London. And that's the exact same room that I was last in 28 years ago for my sick form ball at school. Now, here's the thing. It was 3 months before I became a Christian. So I don't recognize the person that was last in that room. And here's the thing as well. I've just told you I'm quite a visual person. I went into the room. Thankfully, Goldsmiths haven't redecorated in 28 years. So it looked exactly the same as where I stood all those years ago. And I thought, I was struggling to preach because I was quite overcome because of what God's done in my life in that season. But I got an average sermon out and then I drove home. And I was driving along the A40 home and I was just thanking the Lord. Thank you, Lord, I'm a new creation, no more in condemnation. Thank you, I'm liberated from my brokenness. Thank you that I know life in all its fullness. Thank you that you've forgiven my sins. Thank you that I don't recognize the person who last stood in that room. Then I realized there was something in my eye and the tears were flowing. So I thought, I'm really not safe to be driving. So I pulled into a BP garage on the A40 and I'm in one of the little parking bays and I'm weeping and I'm worshiping and I must have looked like a lunatic. I was somewhat overwhelmed. But then the conviction hit. Why did it take this moment for me to be overwhelmed with the gospel again? Why don't I wake up every day overwhelmed by the message of God? Why don't I wake up every day convicted of how powerful this is? Why don't I wake up every day infectious like a new Christian, desperate to tell others? You know, every day since I've prayed in the morning, Lord, remind me what I'm saved from. Help me know what you've done in my life. Let me be grateful to you that I would overflow to those around me. The Lord gives refuge. He gives confidence. And finally, verses 8 to 11, the Lord gives hope. Have you noticed the lack of hope right now? Have you noticed how hopeless it all feels? Budget week this week, how hopeless it feels. Or when the Labour government got in, they got in with a word that should never exist on its own. Change. Change is not a reason for anything. Change needs to be married to hope. Have you noticed too how all the secular narratives have suddenly got pathetically shallow? I keep asking politicians, it's remarkable what's happened in the last year. What epiphany happened to let you understand what a woman is now? Because suddenly everyone knows. It's incredible growth. You know, if you look at the secular narratives, they're not working. The Jesus story's lost nothing. It's because of David's intimate relationship with the Lord in verse 8 that he's sure there'll be life after exile. This is amazing, isn't it? He's so full of hope. And he so knows the Lord that he's sure there'll be life after exile. But then it gets even more impressive. He's sure there'll be life after death. This is incredible. Well done, David. This is pre-Jesus' incarnation. The New Testament's not been written yet. This is, he is so sure of his hope that there'll be life after death. What wonderful eschatological hope. If a fugitive can do that in the Old Testament, what hope have we got now? Should be overflowing. And I believe we're living in the moment to share our hope. I have never known a time like what we're in right now. 3 years ago, as the EA, we produced some research that showed 1 in 3 people want to hear about the hope that a Christian has. 1 in 3, that's not bad, is it? You only need 3 friends. I can do that. I keep praying, Lord, keep me away from the 2 in 3 because I don't want to bump into them too often. Then the Bible Society did their research, The Quiet Revival. Have you seen that this year? Amazing stuff. I disagree with the title. I think it's not quiet. I think it's loud. And I don't think it's a revival. I think it's an awakening. But we're in the loud awakening. But 2 million more people go to church than 4 years ago. What a time to be alive. And the real miracle for me, 4 times as many young men becoming Christians as women. That's amazing because in my generation, there were 7 times as many women as men. So if you were a young woman who met a young man who loved the Lord, had a pulse and was your age, you had to marry them. Times are changing. Or on the ground, we're seeing things. I went up to preach in Aberdeen. You know, if you want to test your anointing with this accent, go to Aberdeen for the weekend. So I did. And I preached at a youth event. I've preached at over 50 youth events in Scotland in my life. I've never preached at one where I felt 5-0 up before I started. There were 800 young people. We stopped counting at 100 first-time decisions for Jesus. I got a text message the next day from the youth worker. A youth group had come from 2 hours north of Aberdeen. Forgive me, I thought that was the sea. But they've come from 2 hours north of Aberdeen. And the message said this, we came down in a minibus with 9 non-Christians and 3 Christians. We went back in a minibus with 12 Christians. They spent the night worshiping. Then on a Sunday morning, yeah, God's moving. Then on a Sunday morning, this might be prophetic for after the service, there was a long queue of people after I preached waiting to join the Evangelical Alliance. And to the side of them was an older guy in a wheelchair crying. He says to me, I've been married over 30 years. My wife's got no interest in Jesus. She never comes to church. She never watches the live stream. Look at this. Passes me his phone. There's a message from his wife. When that fella said, stand up if you want to give your life to Jesus, I stood up in our lounge. We keep chatting, and then he says, can you shut up now? I'm like, yeah. He says, I need to get home and party with my wife. God is moving. I was preaching in Manchester. I was preaching in Manchester the other week, and they did that thing, don't do this as churches. You know, if you've never been to church before and you clearly feel uncomfortable here, why don't you just stand up so we can all look at you? And these two young women stood up. And at the end of the service, they both gave their lives to Jesus. And they came up to see me. The first one says this. She says, I have never been to church before. I had a dream last night and knew I had to go to church today. She said, I woke up and I snapped three of my friends. That's how young people text. I snapped three of my friends. First two said no. Third one said yes, that's her. She said, I've never been to church before either. They both surrendered their lives to Jesus and are now in discipleship groups in that local church. God is moving. Or I thought, if you really want to test it, go to somewhere where I've not seen a lot. I went to North Norfolk in England. And I went to this church and the guy says to me, we've not seen any of that quiet movement stuff happening here. But a few weeks ago, we had a young couple come. We've had no one new for years. About 10 minutes later, he nudges me. The young couple are here. He says, they're there. Turns out the young couple are older than me, but it's all relative. At the end of the service, the young couple gave their lives to Jesus. The pastor comes over, tear down his face. He said, God has not forgotten us. Things are happening, friends. Do not live on yesterday's rules in today's world. I live in a highly Muslim area, which meant during Ramadan, there were adverts everywhere for Islam. One of my friends runs a church locally. He kept getting pestered. When are you going to do an advert about Jesus? Eventually, he gave in. He said, if you pay, I'll do something in the magazine that goes to all the houses. So someone paid. This is the advert he put in. If you ever dream about a man dressed in white, ring this number. In the first 24 hours alone, he led three Muslim men to Jesus. Friends, times are changing. Don't live on yesterday's rules in today's world. We did some research at EA called Changing Church. Twice as many people are becoming Christians through local evangelical churches as in 2022. And it doesn't matter what size or stream they are, we're seeing twice as many come to faith. We also, there's some facts, because people say, I don't like research. If you want a pure fact, the Times newspaper reported there's an 87% increase in sales of the Bible in the last 4 years. The Bible wasn't struggling, friends. It was already by far the best-selling book in the country, an 87% increase, in particular amongst Gen Z. Forgive me, I can't do Z, I'm British. But do not live on yesterday's rules in today's world. We did some Finding Jesus research at EA. How are people coming to faith? We wanted 100 stories, we got 300. 300 adults who've come to faith in the last few years. Do you know 42% are coming to faith on their own? People like me are so disappointed. We're not as important as we thought we were. But people are coming to faith through having a dream, a spiritual experience, opening the Bible, or the one that really gets me because it's banned in our house, through TikTok. The Lord is moving in power in this nation. Do not live by yesterday's rules in today's world. It's a new day. So let's this Advent season, this is my favorite time of year because the name of Christ is in Christmas. And what a time it is to be alive. I have never had a Christmas season in this new season of openness. I am so expectant about what God's going to do. But God will do so much more if a load of us say, here I am, use me, Jesus. And I really believe we mustn't live on yesterday's rules. If you've prayed for a prodigal for 20 years, but you've given up praying, you start again. It's a new season. It's day one. If you've invited someone 5 times to something at church, but you haven't this year, start again. Dust yourself down. It's a new season. If you've never thought you're someone to share your faith, if you've got a pulse and you love Jesus, you're in the team. It's a new season. This is the moment we've prayed for. Let's not be asleep and miss it. I really believe we're living in the most exciting time. Don't live by the rules of the past in the world of today. Friends, we're very time poor but passion rich. If you would love the Lord to use you more effectively as a witness for him in the next few weeks, in this Advent season, knowing him as refuge, giving you confidence and allowing you to share hope, I'd just love to pray for you. So if that's you and you're able, would you just stand where you are? If you'd love the Lord to use you more effectively as a witness in his hands in this season. Wow. I'm excited, Ian. Tell you what, I'm excited. A youth group of 12 changed the world. What could this many people do in Perth and beyond? Lord Jesus, we simply say this morning, we are willing. We give our hands, our hearts, and our lives to you afresh. Would you use us? We pray for a spirit of boldness this morning to be poured amongst your people. We pray for a spirit of expectation this morning to be received by your people. We pray you'd grow our imaginations for what's possible. I thank you for Fred's challenge earlier. Who is the person we most want to meet you? Give us a number of people in our minds now, Lord. And might our days start on our knees, petitioning heaven for breakthrough, before we then use our hands and our lives to share you. Lord, I thank you that this church has so many things. I've seen them this morning, so many hooks to invite people to. I pray you'd give us logistical problems this year because loads of people want to come along. And I ask, Lord, you would do something in and through us that would be for your glory and for your kingdom. Would we know you as refuge? Wherever we find ourselves tomorrow morning, would we know you as refuge? Would we know you giving us confidence? And might we overflow with hope? Lord, I thank you this is a season where everyone gets to play. Might we all join in, we pray. And might we build witnessing muscles that will serve us for many years beyond now. But this Christmas season, grow our imaginations, grow our expectation, and do in and through us whatever you want to do. Help us not get in your way. And might we, as the people of Trinity here in Perth, together make Jesus known. Amen.